Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Funny enough, we're going to have Brock Wisney join us in the 1 o'clock hour as we put the final touches on his career, the final touch on his career and what it was like for him. What's next for Brock, who joined us every single week throughout the season to talk all things college basketball and the University of Northern Colorado. Let's talk all things Rockies. Rockies get win number 19 last night, Michael. We're almost down to the 10-game countdown, 10-win countdown. They beat the Rangers last night, 7-6. Joining me now, as he does right around this time every week, Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies. Spencer, my friend, we're getting close, man. I'm ready for it. It's itchy. The beard, it's itchy. I'm not enjoying myself right now.
Yeah, you're in that in-between mode where it's not long enough to just be, like, so out of control, but it's long enough to just be annoying.
Yes.
And I know that feeling. I'm probably getting there, too, really. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning and thought maybe I need to shave. But I also may do this with you. I just may continue. You know, I have to shave my neck, but there's a certain area of my beard I'll let grow long enough.
All right, Spencer,
game number 30.
You are in next year for, well, finish it up with us now, but next year, and I got to give credit, you know, our morning show, one of the hosts here, Tanner Schwint, actually, he follows your stuff, he loves your stuff, and he kind of created this. I just perfected it, obviously. We want you in on this. Let's make this a thing, dude. Let's get the trifecta going for the Dirty 30. Let's make it a yearly thing.
I love that. And even, you know, if we do this year over year, in a couple of years, we may be done by, you know, the middle of May.
Yeah, we may have to increase it. We may have to, you know, find another catchy phrase, because Dirty 30 is great, but we may have to get up to 40 or 50.
Yes, let's
filthy 40.
We can manifest that and just grow these Rockies wins year over year.
And then I think when the Rockies are winning a World Series, they're going to look back at us and say, "You guys got us there. You know, you got us there, and we will get our share in this in the success of all that." I'm sure that's how it's going to go down.
Just a ring is all I ask.
Yes,
really.
That's fine. Yeah, we'll get a ring. The Rocks get it done last night, man. I love how you're posting at the end of the games, too, kind of like what went right, what went wrong. I was getting a little nervous, as the Rockies tend to make me do, even when things look perfect through a few innings. You just know it's really not, it's literally not over until it's over.
Yeah, last night was scary hours towards the end of that game, and we were in the press box and actually had the windows closed, so it was very nice for us yesterday at Coors Field, very warm. It looked miserable out there. The rain was coming down. The Texas Rangers had multitude of problems just fielding the baseball, hence why the Rockies scored so many runs. But yeah, when Victor Vodnik came in, I looked at Patrick Saunders from the Denver Post in front of us, and I said, "You're about to have a rewrite, Patrick. Don't get this win graphic too excited yet." And then, of course, he goes and gives up a double, gives up back-to-back walks. And luckily, Warren Schaefer, I'll give him some credit, has learned his lesson a little bit in terms of they had Brennan Bernardino warming up after the first walk of the inning, so the second batter. Usually, you know, people will go on Twitter, and I'm sure you've seen it, or just on the internet, and why do they not have somebody ready? And it's like, you guys, when they bring in a closer or eighth inning guy, whoever, they plan on them taking the entire inning. Like, it's not, you don't get somebody up, get somebody on the field and have another guy immediately warming up. That's not what you do. That's not how baseball works. So yesterday they did get Bernardino up quick, and he struggled a little bit, but got him out of the inning with the one run lead. And Juan Mejia, who, ironically, Warren Schaefer told us after the game they were trying not to use Juan Mejia at all yesterday. The bullpen was a little spent. He comes in and gets his third save of the season, and they now have four different players with multiple saves this season.
We're just kind of used to that, right? Now, I mean, not necessarily used to the multiple saves, but on, you know, you just never know who it's going to be, who's going to be the hero when it comes to the pitching staff.
Exactly. And I will admit I'm a little frustrated by it and have been this whole time with the fact that they don't have a Houston Street or Wade Davis. If you Rockies fans remember those guys from back in the day where, you know, the ninth inning with a lead, a certain guy with his walk-up song is coming into the game and going to close it out. But they've done a decent job of piecing together the bullpen and some of the guys, I mean, Jaden Hill, he pitched in the six in the seventh last night a little bit. He was lights out. He's gone six straight scoreless appearances. So you don't know if he'll get some shots later in the game coming up soon. But yeah, they have no closers, and they also have five closers.
Spencer Smith joining us. We're talking all things Rockies. Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies. That early offense was nice, as you kind of alluded to, putting that pressure there where you need it to. Let's talk about Willy Castro, man. Willy Castro was great last night.
Willy Castro at Coors Field is basically Ted Williams. He has been absolutely tearing it up at 20th and Blake. I believe he's slashing. I believe his average is over 350 at Coors Field this season, and an on-base percentage of close to 500. When he gets on the road, a little bit of a different story, but we will enjoy him hitting in that leadoff spot, being a switch hitter, being flexible and able to play multiple positions while they're playing these home games, for sure.
Oh, no question. How about, it's just not Ezekiel Tovar. We spent a lot of time talking about him last week and the struggles. Kind of nice to see him finding a little bit more confidence here these last few games.
Yes, Ezekiel Tovar is coming around, hits in seven of his last eight games now at this point. I believe he was, at one time we checked last night, seven for his last 19 at the plate, which includes a lot of home games, of course, but also includes a little bit of that final last road series. So it is good to see Ezekiel Tovar turning it around a bit and not being a guy that you have to slot at eighth or ninth in the lineup now. He can maybe move back up to the six or the five spot. And drove in two big runs for them last night in the first inning with a double. So that's very good to see for a guy that you hope is a cornerstone of the future of this organization.
What goes into this? Because, man, it can get so frustrating. We spent a lot of time last week talking about, hey, there's a lot of Rockies players now. We're starting to get into the handfuls of where they start off really good. And you're thinking, hey, there's a guy we're going to build around. And we've seen that with Tovar, where he's now hit the struggle bus. But just staying the course, obviously coaching comes into play. What kind of goes into that process of just staying ready? Because you never know when you might get out of that slump.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest keys this year, too, especially, is with the whole new coaching staff, both hitting, pitching, front office, everything is new above the most of the roster for this Rockies team. Is they're changing things around, too. And they're trying to fit a certain mold of, ideally, you know, you want to strike out less, and they only had six strikeouts last night and four walks, which is something you always love to see from a Rockies offense. But they're really trying to cut down on these strikeouts, cut down on the chase, and you wonder how much they changed with Ezekiel Tovar once the new coaching staff got their hands on him and the new philosophy that the Rockies organization is trying to put in place this year. You wonder how much that affected him. And hopefully it was just, you know, early season struggles and he turns it around and becomes better late, because we've seen it a lot on the opposite side with the Rockies, unfortunately, where it's late or early season explosion, late season struggles. So I'm hoping with guys like Ezekiel Tovar and Brenton Doyle, we see a little bit of reverse effect where they struggle coming out of the gate, but then they get hot around the All-Star break and continue to be the player that we hope they're going to be and think they're going to be come end of the year in September.
Spencer, what are your thoughts early? Because I know it's very early in his career, but Longmont dude, Sterling Thompson.
Unfortunately, Sterling Thompson has had a rough
outing
or rough start to his major league career. You know, they called him up with the paternity list leave of Tyler Freeman this past week. And, you know, I think they called him up to give him a shot. Obviously, he's been doing pretty well at AAA, Longmont native, of course. And he's had a bit of a struggle at the major league level. He's looked a little bit tentative on some of his swings. Ironically, he got his first ever major league hit last night, and it was on a play that was kind of a tweener. Most of us in the press box thought it was going to be an error. They had originally called it an error on the shortstop and then went back two innings later and got on the mic in the press box and told us they actually changed another base hit from Karros to an error and changed the error for Sterling Thompson to a base hit, which was his first major league hit. So kind of anticlimactic for him. But, he's had a little bit of a struggle, and he overran a ball in the ninth inning as well yesterday, so that was a little bit scary. But I think it's just a little nerves. I don't know if he's going to get a ton of time to work through those nerves, but if he goes back down to AAA, where they only have four outfielders on the roster right now, really, and get some more at-bats and can kind of work on, you know, hey, you got a taste of the major leagues, you got a taste of major league pitching, what can we work on now? Maybe fine-tuning and honing those skills, and we'll see him back up later in the year, depending upon after what the trade deadline looks like. You know, there's always going to be injuries, et cetera.
Joining us, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies, and we'll circle back. You talked about Vodnik, and you know he's getting that reputation right now. What does the immediate future look like for him?
You know, I believe Victor Vodnik has got to go down to AAA at some point and just reset and get some, you know, whether it's getting some confidence back, whatever it ends up being, because he not only he has the stuff to be the best. I think he has maybe the best stuff in the Rockies bullpen. If you're just putting together, you know, the best fastball, who's got the best breaking balls, deception, everything, he's got it. But he is walking too many guys, and you can just tell he's not pitching with a ton of confidence out there. And, you know, the management and ownership has kept running him out there and kept giving him shots like they did last night. And last night was kind of the perfect time to give him a shot, if you will. Obviously, the Rockies aren't winning a ton of games, but you had a 4-run lead. You think, okay, he goes out there and pitches a scoreless inning. He piggybacks off the scoreless inning he had two nights ago, or Sunday and then Monday. And he feels better about himself and he gets going. And then, but if he gives up a couple of runs, we're not totally, you know, in trouble. We can still win this baseball game, and that's what happened. But I do think a AAA stint is in his future. The tough part is, and I've echoed this on this show and on our show as well, we've heard so many times that they're not going to just throw guys into the mix because there's nobody else at the major league level. So that's what makes it tough, is like, who's really ready at the AAA level to make the jump and become a pitcher at the major league level? Seth Halverson was that guy, but with some injuries to Jimmy Hergett and other bullpen pitchers, Seth Halverson's with the Rockies now and pitching out of the bullpen, so you don't really have that guy that's ready to make his major league jump per se at the AAA level, where you can send Vodnik down, make it a one-for-one transaction, and have a guy that you feel confident in. But I do believe he needs to take a reset and get some confidence down in Albuquerque.
Yeah, well, we'll see what that potentially looks like. Makes it complicated for sure. All right, Dirty 30 watch. You know, again, this is gonna change. You know, you've given us a couple of dates. It's gonna move around a little bit here, but hey, the Rockies have won 3 out of their last 6 games, .500 baseball in their last 6 games, Spencer. So there's a positive right there. Has the date changed for you? When am I shaving? When am I trimming the hair here? Because the hair is what's bothering me. It's porcupiney, froey. I don't pull off long hair. So that's the problem right now. But the beard will get there soon enough. How are we feeling?
Well, after this little homestand, maybe I'm pretty confident that they're going to get you within 10 in the next 2 days, whether that be tonight or tomorrow or 2 games tomorrow. The weather's looking a little sketchy for tonight's game, but I believe they'll get to 20 at this Rangers series, and then they've got 4 at the Diamondbacks and 3 at the Dodgers. I don't think they're going to make much room for you during that 7-game road stand. The Diamondbacks came in here and made the Rockies look like a much worse team than they have this season. And then, of course, the Dodgers in L.A. are the Dodgers. I think they win probably comfortably 1, maybe 2 games on that 7-game home or road trip, excuse me. And then they'll be home against the Giants, who have been bad, so you can expect 2 there. And then they go at the Angels, which luckily are the worst team in baseball right now. That is not the Colorado Rockies. The worst team in baseball is the Los Angeles Angels. A couple more wins there, and then they're home for Brewers and Cubs. So I think I'm going to stick with my prediction of June 11th will be the last day. I'm going to change it a little bit. I think last time we had the Pirates-Red Sox series later in June, I'm going to say by June 11th, the Cubs 3-game homestand, the Rockies will have that 30th win for you.
I love it, yes, because I was asking, you know, not that it's all about me, but I was wanting to be able to clean up before the birthday, June 17th, and you were kind of like, it might be a little bit after that, might be around the 20th or so, but moving it to June 11th, hey, I'm happy if we can get to the 10, you know, even under 10 games needed, 10 wins needed by the time we hit June 1st, so I'll still feel ahead of the game here.
Yeah, you will definitely be ahead of the game, and if you did this last year, you did it the worst year that is humanly possible.
Yeah, I did.
So it'll always feel better going forward.
It was awful, Spencer. I didn't shave until August. It was, and we actually moved, so I was working outside a lot in July, and the beard was heavy. The hair was extremely long. It was miserable. So I still feel much better compared to we were last year. Last one for you. How much do you want to throw up in your mouth when you see Nolan Arenado playing for the Diamondbacks now?
A lot. Well, yeah. What's funny is I have fully pushed Nolan aside in my memory. I obviously thanked him for what he did for the Rockies, but similar to the Carmelo Anthony career arc, he came here, we won, you know, we got to some playoffs, we had some really good teams, but he was kind of a no-show when it came to the playoffs, and then he, of course, gave the whole city of Denver the I'm too good to be here speech, which he wasn't wrong, but at the same time, as a fan and a quote-unquote media member covering this team, I still have some angst towards Nolan Arenado. So watching him be a Diamondback, great for him. You know, it's funny because he obviously went to the St. Louis Cardinals for a bunch of years, and the St. Louis Cardinals won exactly as many playoff games as the Colorado Rockies in Nolan's stint with St. Louis. So he kind of got his comeuppance there when he went to St. Louis and realized that maybe it's not always better everywhere else, and now he left St. Louis and they're a really good team this year. So I'm not a big fan of Nolan Arenado. I thank him for what he did for Colorado and what he did for, you know, my fandom as a child and as a teenager growing up and loving the Rockies. But I'm kind of past him. You know, he's in my rearview mirror.
You're over the breakup. You put him away, and that's healthy.
I have. I've moved on. I deleted his number out of my phone and moved on.
I love it, man. Spencer, great work from you, man. I love your stuff. And join the Dirty 30 quest here. And for sure, you know, we start from the beginning next year. We do this together, man. We're gonna start not a revolution. That's probably a bad thing, but we're gonna start something really fun with this. So yes, let's continue the Dirty 30.
Yeah, we can make the beard great again in Denver.
Oh, 100%.
April and May.
Yes, I love it. Spencer, my man, we'll look to catch up with you next week, my friend.
Awesome, Brady. Thanks so much, man.
All right, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies, 37 minutes after the hour. Got some texts coming in. Yeah, on this weird story on the Brendan Sorsby thing. So we'll talk about that a little bit more and what that actually looks like going forward. Because, Mike, the filing of Sorsby's legal team says the quarterback suffers from a clinically diagnosed gambling disorder, which they're saying is a mental health condition. So they're going to be using that as, wait, you're abandoning a player when he is suffering from a mental health condition.
Yeah, they've been saying it's a mental health. I know North Range has been, behavioral health has talked about it on the morning show, but you can't use every mental health thing as an excuse.
I'm just, without being a doctor, I'm not saying it's not a condition of some sort, an addictive personality or whatever. Doesn't that water down like really severe, for lack of a better term, legitimate mental health conditions?
I mean, yeah, there are people who are bipolar out there, schizophrenic. Severe depression.
Some stuff that they can't help no matter what. Like, at one point you didn't gamble, and then you gambled, and then you got addicted to it. These people grow up. They're born with some of these things that they have to deal with their entire life.
Yeah, and my thing is, like, gambling addiction, you have a gambling anonymous. Like, you can get better with someone helping you out. Other things, you have to take pills and hope that they work.
Yeah. You know what the cure for gambling disorder is, Mike? Probably getting away entirely from the thing you're gambling on.
Yeah, and that's what people from Alcoholics Anonymous do.
They don't go to bars. They don't go to breweries. This guy's like, hey, I have a gambling disorder. It's a mental health condition, but let me still play football and be around the sport that I was gambling on. That doesn't seem to fit.
Yeah,
that doesn't connect.
I'm an alcoholic, but allow me to work at a brewery. At Coors Brewery.
Yeah. No, man. Don't tell me it's snowing when it's 100 degrees outside. I don't buy it. 39. Oh, go ahead, Michael.
Well, there's an amount of sensitivity that the NCAA should have, but in this case, no. I don't bring him back. I don't bring him back at all, because then, like, talking about slippery slopes, then you can bring back anyone who's done anything wrong.
It's just, but the cure for if you have a gambling disorder and you gamble on horses, you don't spend time with horses because that makes you get the itch.
Well,
if you have a gambling disorder and you were gambling on football, you probably shouldn't be around football.
Yeah.
We're doing you a favor. So that's the way I'd say it if I'm the NCAA. We're helping you out, man. You're done.
Yeah. And honestly, what does it do to his other teammates who like to partake but have the discipline? It's like those people, I keep bringing it back to drinking, but like, well, it's like those people drinking, but they know how to drink in moderation. Yeah. This guy just doesn't, so he's trying to ruin it for everybody.
41 minutes after the hour. Let's read some text coming back on the other side. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.